Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
Well, I'm afraid Sean Dodd is going solo today. No Tony Dodson to join him. Oh, Mr. Dodd, you're just showing me his brand new tattoo on his chest.
Hey.
For all tattoo lovers and all Sean Dodd lovers as well, next time he steps into the ring, that one's going to be on display.
Nice,
go on, describe what it is.
It's a lion piercing through my skin, ripped skin, with a heart in its mouth. To represent Lionheart or Heart of a Lion, whatever you want.
Heart of a Lion, right.
Everyone relates to me, yeah.
Because myself and Tony actually tried to put you off the idea of having the heart on there, but actually it looks all right, doesn't it?
Yeah. And once it heals properly, it'll look even better. But
did that hurt? That's right on your chest and up to your shoulder.
Yeah. No, it didn't hurt, no. It's all like on your collarbone and in the inside. I felt a little bit in there because where it's soft. It feels like it's right on your heart, you know, the needle goes
right in the middle of you. Yeah.
Feels like they're gonna pierce your heart. Yeah.
God, are you going for the full set right across the body? Are you?
I'm getting a clock here on my shoulder to bring in. See this bit.
So
here.
At the moment you've got a Celtic cross. Is that a Celtic cross? It is, isn't it?
I don't know. Is it?
Yeah, it's a Celtic cross on your left arm.
Yeah.
And you're going to connect that to the lion, are you? With a clock.
Yeah, we'll see. The clock's going to go in, rip through the skin, so it can sort of go behind. Coming through, but I'm gonna. This is don't no one rub my idea. I'm gonna have a couple of birds flying out the clock, like they're part of the clock, just to represent time flies.
Look at you, artist. Mm-hmm. Has Dodson got any tattoos?
Nah.
Has he?
No.
Old school. He doesn't do that sort of thing.
He's got the initials on his knuckles. Inky Dink when he was 16.
Toe on his knuckles.
Toe, yeah. Tone.
He doesn't like you calling him Toad.
Oh, yeah,
right, before we get into the serious stuff of boxing, a little bit of sad news in the past week concerning a friend of yours,
yeah.
And you're trying to do something to help them out. So go on, tell us a little bit more.
We lost our good friend, Mark Darby, last week. Suffered a heart attack, and he's only 34 years of age. He's got two kids, a lovely family as well. So such a tragic time, and it just... You know, come out of nowhere. There was no signs of you know, there was no illness or nothing. So no one could prepare themselves for such a sad thing. But we're doing a draw tomorrow night at the Queen's Pub, and we're doing a raffle, £20 for a strip of tickets, and the winner of the raffle will we're going to do it live on my Facebook, and the winner will get the chance to walk the ring with me as part of me entourage, and also carry the Commonwealth belt for me. To the ring and back.
So carry your belt to the ring for your next big fight.
Yeah.
So we're not talking an interim fight, we're talking your next big fight, aren't we?
Next big fight, yeah. Could hopefully be for the British. We're just waiting on news now, so...
Wow, what an opportunity. So £20 for a strip of tickets. The Queen's tomorrow night. Where's the Queen's, sorry?
Queen's on Conway Street, Birkenhead.
Right, okay. So if you do want to buy a strip of tickets or indeed head down to the Queen's tomorrow night, you can buy them before the draw's made.
Yeah.
The draw's going to be made at what time, do you know?
I've got a feeling between probably 9 and 10 o'clock.
All right.
We don't want to do it too early. You know, let everyone get there and... Hopefully we can get a couple of more tickets. I have a couple of people if you had a few bevvies.
Right. And the idea is to raise some money for Mark's family.
Yeah.
Obviously, he leaves behind a young family, two young children, wife as well. Very unexpected passing.
Yeah.
This money is being sort of raised to sort of help the family in a difficult time.
Yeah. All proceeds go to the family to pay with their funeral costs. And hopefully, you know, go towards Christmas for the kids and, you know, give them something. We can't replace the dad, but at least we can help out with something and just so they can get through this tough time.
Well, unbelievable. If you if you do want to help or you want some more information, you can find it via Sean's Facebook page, so Sean Dodd.
Yeah. My Facebook page or Instagram. My mates as well, Loco, Claire Quayle, Joanne Brooks and Bernie Finn.
Right.
And Amber, you know, just get in touch with these people.
Any of those guys, they'll help you out to buy the tickets. We want to raise as much money as possible to help the family.
And you can also my PayPal as well. If you can't get close, you can just pay online. And a photo will be taken of your ticket, your name, and then the draw will be done live on Facebook. So, you know, everyone, it's fair for everyone.
What a special feeling carrying the belt. Who's always carried your belt? I've never really noticed this.
Well, me, the Green, the WBC, my brother's always carried that because that was my first one I won. So he was the first to do the defence walk with me and he's always kept the green one ever since. That's his belt. So the Commonwealth, when I won that, my first defence was against Stoker and Ben Tollett, Tommy Rovers, superstar. But it was when I met Ben and spoke to him, he was talking to Mark Palios. Yeah. And when he was talking, I said to Sean Todd, I said, yeah, he reads the secret. Now, Sean looked at me like I got two heads because he doesn't believe in all of that. So I'm adamant, and I waited for Ben to finish talking with Palios, and I just said to him, do you read the secret? And he said, wow, look at this. And we didn't really know, and spoke. Showed me photos on his phone of the book he's reading, The Secret, and he said, I believe in it, and his positive mindset, and I was just taken by him, you know, when you just feel it, the energy, and I just said, have you ever been in a boxing? And he was like, no, never. And I said, would you carry my belt out for me, the Commonwealth?
Because he had positivity.
Just because we just connected there, and then I felt the connecting there, and he said, yeah, I've never been a boxing show in my life, so Ben come along and he carried the belt and it all went to plan.
Right, lovely. If you out there have got positivity and 20 quid to help this raffle, then please do get involved. Have a look at Sean Dodd's Facebook page. Let's have a look at some of the big boxing stories. And of course, yesterday I had Tony Bellew on the show and he was talking about this fight that's been postponed with David Haye. It was meant to happen on the 17th of December at the O2 Arena. But David Haye has had surgery for a torn bicep. Now, when Tony came on, he sounded absolutely devastated at the sort of the emotional demand that the camp had put on him. Of course, he's had family issues as well that he's had to deal with. But the emotional demand of going through camp only to be told, 3 weeks out, this isn't going to happen. It probably happens more often than we think, does it, in boxing?
Yeah, it does. But it's only these high stature fights you hear about. But it happens day in, day out for lads. You hear it all the time. People pulling out last minute. It happened to me. An hour before I was to leave the house, my bag was packed. It was all there at the front door, sitting still, waiting for the phone call. And then got a phone call. I think it was 3 o'clock. I was getting picked up at 4. Phone call at 3. Fight's off. Stay at home.
Which fight was that for?
It was the fight just before when I got the shot with Gary Buckland.
Right.
When I just come to a point of four. Is it worth it?
And they just dragged someone else in, do they, last minute? Or?
I didn't get no, couldn't fight, right. because it was a urine test and proteins were showing up in it, and so they can't get a clear test. But they're testing you just before a fight, before you're weighing in. So it's high in protein, your food's high, your body produces proteins. Plus your diet's high protein, so it's just protein. So they're testing you just before, that's why now they test you afterwards, after the fight. But I was close to just calling it. I didn't want to call it a day on boxing because I loved it. So I was going to become a journeyman. I decided to become a journeyman. Mm. But I got the shot with Gary Buckland. That was like we got another day for the fight. So I said, well, I'll have this fight. And after this fight, I'll call it a day. With just fighting every couple of months or whatever, I'll fight every week and just earn wages because I was skint.
So it's a different point of your career. For Tony, it's quite a critical moment because he's, 35 years old. 34, 35, and of course he spent the last half year thinking, right, this is probably maybe my big send-off. Maybe there was one fight after this, I don't know. But he spent a lot of time channeling his energy just into David Haye, whereas he could have spent the last 6 months thinking, right, I'll channel my energy into maybe getting a world title belt. So he'd made a big decision going in one direction, and now it's all sort of crumbled in front of him. And he's thinking, do I have an interim fight now to see whether David Haye is fit come April next year? What do you do if you're Tony Bellew now?
Well, Tony's he's like the cash cow in a sense where everyone wants to fight him and he brings in a big crowd. He's entertaining Tony, but he's also the man as well, isn't he? You know he's the cruiserweight world champion, and he's up there now contending with the heavyweights. I don't think Tony, you know, we heard Tyson Fury and the other fellas, you know, calling Tony out. But, you know, Tony doesn't need to fight them because he's not a full-on heavyweight, even though he can contend at it. Mm. But, you know, David Haye's not a full-on heavyweight. He was, like Tony said, he was a blown-up cruiserweight, wasn't he? So that made a good fight, plus the camaraderie between them made a great fight. I think, you know, Tony, that last fight, he got well paid and he said it set himself up and in his mind, he didn't need to fight again. He said that. But the fight with David Haye, the rematch, you could see that got him, that really got the bit between his teeth, and You know, he really wanted that fight. He really wanted to beat him again and shut him up and put him into retirement for good.
His body seems to be falling to pieces, David Haye, doesn't it? Torn bicep? Yeah. How'd you recover from a torn bicep?
Well, I've spoke to people and they've said when they've had it, it took a long, long time. And he thinks he's just going to recover. So whether he's just dead in his arm and sparring or what, and he's just going to recover quick, I don't know. But that it's a bad injury, so I don't think Tony's going to be waiting around for David.
Not for too long. I mean, the money on the table must be massive, but there must be a point where Tony actually thinks, well, I tell you what, a world title would actually might be worth a little bit more at this stage if things are so uncertain in terms of when I could actually meet David Haye. Maybe I should just go down a different road.
Yeah. Well, it's exciting now because Tony Bellew is a game man, and he's one of them where we're saying now, oh no, you know, Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, these are big, big heavyweights. We're like, he's not going to be in the ring with any of them. But you don't know Tony Bellew. You might just turn around and say, yeah, let's do it. And then the next thing you're like, wow, we've got a crazy fight because Tony can hit and he can take a punch as well. So he's a very dangerous man for anyone, doesn't matter how big they are. And he is a big lad as well, Tony. He's bigger than Haye. I didn't think he was as big as he was with David Haye. So you just don't know with Tony where he's going to go with it. And wherever he goes, it'll be exciting. I just hope he doesn't hang the gloves up now, that he can retire. I would like to see another one or two fights of Tony. Maybe
another big fight. I think we all would, wouldn't we?
Yeah, he's the man now for Liverpool. He's the biggest, isn't he? He's the biggest draw. So if he, like when Tyson Fury quit boxing, it went a bit boring. If Tony quits boxing, it'll go even more.
You lose
boring.
A personality.
Yeah, and
a lot of people who go, oh, he annoys me. You know, he's always mouthing off. And there's a lot of people who love Tony Belly. But even the ones who say he annoys me, they still want to watch him.
They'll miss him.
Yeah.
They all said it about Tyson Fury, but they miss him. We miss him.
You can't stay out of fighting for too long, can you? You mentioned Tony hasn't fought for a long time. And we saw that a little bit last week with Frampton. Did you see the Carl Frampton fight?
I did, yeah.
And he'd obviously been out of the game for quite a while, hadn't he?
Yeah.
And he struggled a little bit in the middle rounds, didn't he? I mean, he won the fight, and you could see that. The start and the end was definitely his. But his opponent, who was being cheered on by Canelo Alvarez, ringside, you know, he was a tough opponent, and I think much harder than he expected.
Well, he was big, though, wasn't he? He was a big, strong. You see the size of him, you know.
Tall.
Yeah, he
rangy.
Looked solid, didn't he?
Yeah.
And I think it was just a bit of eagerness as well with Carl, as you said. You've been out the ring for a while. You're just eager to get back into the mix of things and prove a few points to a few people. The fact that he was up against a tough test. They always want to do a number on him and do what no one else has done. But sometimes when you can be sort of in a catch-22 when they don't go and they're still there and they're pressing the fight and you're too eager and your ring fitness isn't the best and you know you'll find that you've got to look for your third wind maybe somewhere down the stretch. That's what he done. He dug deep. He got his third wind, but it a few questions got asked of him probably in that fight and you know and he come through with the answers. But it was a close fight. And, you know, he done well to get through it, but let's just hope he gets out soon rather than later.
Good fight. Right, have you heard anything on your front? What's happening with yourself? Any conversations in the past week?
Yeah, do you know, I heard rumours that Ritson, the British champion, was to fight Tommy Coyle on the David Haye Bellew undercard. And obviously that now has fell through. I was hoping we were talking that I'll get the winner of that fight. But now David Haye's got a dead arm. Everyone else.
So what does it mean? Does it just delay the prospect for you?
Well, now that show won't go on. What was it? It was like 17th of December.
Yeah.
So they're probably still going to fight. And they might fight now in the new year, February, March. That was when I was hoping to fight. So they'll probably have that fight then. Then I'll just have another fight, go down another route. I also heard that Tom Stalker was my voluntary. Did I say Stalker? He was my voluntary, which obviously I didn't know. So I have to now think. I'm just waiting to find out whether I have to fight me mandatory, which is Richard Comey, is it? don't want to be fighting him.
Sean, thank you very much indeed. Just another quick mention again. Obviously, we were talking at the top of the conversation about Mark Darby, Sean's friend who passed away, left a very young family. They're doing a big draw tomorrow night at the Queen's Pub in Birkenhead. £20 for stripper tickets. And if you win, you can carry Sean's belt into the ring with him at his next major fight.
And Mark Bain as well, another young fella who lost his life. You know, we send out our thoughts
to all those families.
To the family and friends, yeah.
Absolutely.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.